So I don't know about you, but I have things I have to fight. Anyone not fighting anything? Anyone got no problems? Everything's just even Stevens, no issues? But in this life, the Bible says you shall have what? Tribulation. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. I have overcome. And so this is what our topic has been. It doesn't matter, you know, what your station in life, there are things you're going to have to deal with. There are things you're going to have to overcome, whether it's your job, whether it's family, you know, maybe it's children, maybe it's sickness. There's all kinds of things that the devil will come to you to take away your peace, to take away your joy, make you have despair, and to just make you lose faith. That's his whole point, is to make you give up. Make you give up. But I don't know what it is. I guess I was raised very optimistically. I'm definitely a half glass full person. I always believe ridiculously that somehow it's going to work out. No matter how terrible the situation looks, I was raised to believe that with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. And I don't know how you could live life without hope, but we know that there are people who do live life right on the edge, and of course some go over the edge and take their life because they have come to the point where they have no hope. But for the Christian, it says, in this life, if we were just looking for hope in this life, then we have a right to be miserable. If this was all there was, if there was no God, then I could actually understand people getting to the point where if it looks hopeless, why not just end it? Why not just put yourself out of misery? But the Bible says that there's more than just this life. And Tuesday night I'll be teaching a brand new Bible study that I think I'm encouraging you to come out and listen to. It's going to be some new stuff that I haven't taught before. And the Lord's been giving me some revelation, and so come on out Tuesday. But I just want to encourage you that we are going to have tribulation, no matter whether you're middle class, rich, poor. You are going to have tribulation if you determine that you want to live a godly life. If you determine that you want to have a relationship with God, there is going to be tribulation. Sister Deb? Amen. Amen. I love that verse too. Amen. That's a great verse to meditate upon, because tribulation does work patience. You know, as I said, I've been through so many financial things before that now when I get, as I told you, I got a bill from the state a couple months ago for $12,000. I said, okay, it's okay. You know, now 20 years ago, that would get me all shaky. I've had stuff that was, add some zeros to that before you top what I've had to deal with before. So when I got it, I just said, well, Lord, you're just going to have to take care of this because I can't deal with this. You know, so we're going to have tribulation. But as I told you last week Saturday, God did a nice miracle for me. I got a letter from the state saying, we've reviewed your file and that other letter's been canceled. You owe zero. Amen. See, so we are going to have tribulation, but it's how we deal with it. It's how we deal with it. You know, so as a Christian, we should be the world's greatest optimists. We should be. We should be the greatest optimists that there are, because we have something that the world does not have. I always believe that I got my daddy behind me. And by that, I don't mean my earthly father. He has passed, but I have the person who has said I can call him Abba. That's a term of endearment. When I'm in trouble, I say, Lord, you got to deal with this. I can't take care of this. I don't know how to even begin. And somehow he opens the door. I'll tell you something that I've been finding. You have an issue and you're dealing with it. Pray. The Bible says pray without ceasing. Now, it doesn't mean you can't sleep. But when I wake up, when I have a real issue, I'm like a bulldog with God. I just don't let it go. I just keep praying. I say, Lord, you got to deal with this. I don't let an hour go. Lord, you got to deal with this. And you know, for me anyway, it seems to work. I get up in the morning and say, Lord, this is what I got to deal with. You know I'm going to have this issue at work. I've got this person that's I'm dealing with. You deal with it. And I'm just telling you, the Bible says what? The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man. Now, I'm not righteous, but somehow I'm getting some stuff answered. And so what you've got to do is not give up. This is all about being an overcomer. And you'll never be an overcomer if you give up. If you give up. It's he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Isn't that what the scripture says? That means there are some things you got to get through to endure. It's not a cakewalk just because you come to Christ. It just suddenly doesn't become a bed of roses. Because, as I've said so many times, the reason why we have to fight is because whose territory is this? Satan's. We're on enemy ground. Enemy ground. Jesus himself, when he was before Pilate, said, Pilate said, why don't you say something? Don't you know I have the power to set you at liberty or to crucify you? Why aren't you resisting me? He said, if this were my kingdom, then would my servants fight. But this is not my kingdom. And he added that word now. That means one day it will be his kingdom. One day we won't have to go through all of this tribulation and struggle. Amen? One day, Revelation 12 will be fulfilled when it says, now is come salvation. Revelation will be fulfilled where the angel puts one foot on the sand, one foot on the sea, and says, there shall be time no more. God's kingdom will have come, and he will become King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Okay, so this is the last part of this on overcoming. And I've titled this Overcoming Tribulation, because it's going to be necessary. In this life, ye shall have tribulation. What is tribulation? Problems. Anyone have no problems? Let me come and stay with you. I mean, it doesn't matter your education. It doesn't matter. There's going to be problems. I was looking, I saw online the lady that won the $755 million. You know what? She had some problems before, but you know what? I think her problems have increased. I bet you her problems have increased. She's going to have to now get security guards. She's going to have to look after, make sure all her children have got security, because that's such a problem. Money, too much money can be a problem. You know, you would think, okay, now her problems are, yes, it solved one set of problems, but I am absolutely sure that her problems have actually increased. Have actually increased. We would all say, yes, we would like that, but, you know, it's like the story about King Midas. Anyone remember that? He wished that any wish he had would be given. So he was granted the wish that anything he touched would be gold. And he thought that this would be great. If everything I touch is gold. Sometimes you don't want to wish for some things, because instead of being a blessing, they can turn out to be a curse. John 16, verse 33 says, Jesus said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. The more stuff you have, the more trouble you're going to have. The more you're going to have to worry about it. The more alarms you're going to have to put. The bigger the house, the more security you're going to need. It's true. If I had a Mercedes Benz out there, I'd be going out there checking. Where can I park where they won't scratch it? And then I'd be so upset when somebody takes a key. But if you have an old beat up hoopty with one headlight missing, you know, the hoodlums aren't going to worry with that. I mean, they get no joy keying that one. So a lot of the times, the things we think will bring us joy and happiness, they can to a certain extent, but they bring us all kinds of other responsibilities. That's why the great apostle Paul said, I have learned in whatever situation I found myself to be content. That's a learning experience, because it's only when you've been through some things you realize that more stuff brings more responsibility, more trouble, more sleepless nights, more things you have to think about. But if you have Jesus, He says, in me you shall have peace. In the world he shall have tribulation. But this is our optimistic part. This is our hope. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So Jesus gave us a key to tribulation. He says, in me, you shall have peace. We're going to look at that because he says that's one way of overcoming the world. And I think on a broad basis, that's just having hope and knowing that you have someone that's behind you. No matter what situation I've found myself in, I've had some scary situations. Scary situations. But whatever situation I've found myself in, I've always felt, okay, there's still a chance, there's still hope because God is able to deliver. He's able to rescue me. The Bible says his hand is not short, nor his ear hardened or closed that he can't hear us. And I don't want to teach my Tuesday Bible study, so I'll have to move on. But I have some things to show you on Tuesday. 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. When you wake up tomorrow morning, that's what you need to tell yourself. Greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. If we have Jesus, he said, this is how you will overcome. If you have faith and trust in him, if you have a relationship with him, then the Bible says perfect love casteth out fear. See, tribulation and all the things we're facing brings fear. As I said, when I looked at that bill from the state, it said 12,788, and you have, you know, the usual 30 days. Please go to this and send us your check for 12,788. And I was telling someone last week that they were my blessing, because the Bible says it's better to give than to receive. And although I was going through some things, because I believe I was able to help someone, God helped me. And so when I got home and I saw this letter, I was so, and actually I hadn't actually showed my wife the actual bill before. She knew something, there was a tax bill, but I hadn't actually told her how much it was. So she looked at it, so here's what I did. I took the original bill and I said, here, look. Now she read it and she said, she got in a little bit of a, like, what are we going to do? And I said, hold on. Now look at this letter. See, our God has given us exceeding great and precious promises. And if you have faith, if you trust him, if you are walking uprightly and doing your best, he will never leave you or forsake you. Ye are of God, little children that over... You know, a little child doesn't worry about the mortgage. That little baby is not worrying about where the food is going to come from tomorrow. That's why he said, except he be converted and become as a little child. See, we try, wouldn't it be scary, and I've said this before, if a baby, a nursing baby said, well, I only see two breasts. What's going to happen next week? What's going to, you know, and wouldn't eat because the baby started to worry. How is mom going to feed me tomorrow? She's only got two breasts and I'm finished with that today. But that's us. We look at what's there and we start to get a panic. The Jews did that when they were marching from Egypt to Canaan. But you know what? God only gave them daily bread. They had to go out every morning, and there was the food on the ground. And some of them got panicky. Well, you know, I know he's doing the miracle right now, but let me pick up for tomorrow. And you know what would happen? Anyone know what would happen when they did that? It rotted. God was trying to teach them a lesson. Give us this day our daily bread. But of course, that takes faith to just pray for what you need tomorrow. Because as grown-ups now, we have this capacity to think in time, and we're looking down the road and say, okay, well, the first is coming. When is the first? Is it Thursday? I bet you, Friday? Okay, so all of you know when the first is because you know what's due on the first, right? The rent, the mortgage, the car payment, the electricity bill, the telephone bill. So this week, we're all looking at our budgets and going, okay, well, if I don't pay Peter this week and pay Paul next week. And if I juggle this here, see, that's how we are. That little baby is not thinking that. That little one, Vera, she's not thinking that. She's just relaxed in her mother's arms and thinking, isn't this great? I get to relax in my mother's arms. In me, ye shall have peace. That's what Jesus said. If we could get back and be converted, that's what the scripture says, be converted and become a little child. Now, it's easy to say, it's hard to do. It's hard to do. Even though I'm talking to you, I'm talking to myself. Because in this life, I will have some more tribulation. It's not finished. We go through mountaintops experiences, then we go through valley experiences. And sometimes you can tell when you're on the mountain and everything's just going great. The Lord just blessed you. It's April, you got your tax return, and you're thinking all the great things. But you know that there's coming a valley experience. But the great thing is, where do things grow? In the valley. Not much grows on the mountaintop. It's in the valley that you grow and you become an overcomer. Ye are of God, little children, have overcome because greater is he that is in you than that he that is in the world. Now, how many of us really believe that? I mean, if you believe that tomorrow morning, you will wake up with confidence, although you can't understand how you're going to meet the first and all the things you have due on the first. If you truly believe that God is your strength and your refuge, then you will get through. Let's look at that a little bit more deeply. It says, in me is peace. What is the opposite of peace? Turmoil? What do you think Jesus meant? In me is peace. Say that again. To give him all your problems? Okay. In me is peace. Like most of us are facing turmoil. You have to come to the microphone because people can't hear. In me is peace. What did he mean by in me is peace?
When I think about that, I think about the word that says God is love. You know, God is the epitome of love. He is the gift of love. So I guess when he says he is peace, he is the peace of peace. You know, he's the creation of peace.
Okay. You know? I heard a story that this great famous artist was commissioned to do a work on peace by the United Nations. And so it was going to commemorate some anniversary of the United Nations, and they had all these dignitaries come to the unveiling of this great painting. And they took off this cover off this huge painting. And when everyone looked at it, there was a big gasp, because what it showed was this storm and leaves and wind blowing all over the place and lightning and gray clouds and thunder. And everyone was going like, this doesn't make sense. He was commissioned to, excuse me, sir, could you be quiet? Because we're in church, okay? Thank you. He was commissioned to paint a painting of peace, but instead, there was this storm in this painting. And so he was asked about it, and he said, study the painting carefully. And then after all, people noticed that right in the center was this little nest. And in the nest was a bird with her young ones, and they were just very quietly just at peace. So the definition of peace can vary. It's not that there's not a storm, but you can have peace even in a storm. Sister?
Yes, that's what I was going to say. That it's like having the faith and the confidence to know that no matter what goes on or what happens in your life or how you may face daily troubles, but to know that no matter what happens, that in Jesus, that you can have peace, because he said in the world you'll have tribulation. All these things of the world is of the devil. So having peace is knowing that you're rooted, grounded in Jesus Christ.
Amen. In John 14:27, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Well, there's the key. Let not your heart be troubled. Most of us, when we face the things that we are seeing, let's be honest, gives us heart problems. Sir, do you have something to say?
Sure.
Well, that's great. That's great. Bible says that let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. So what Jesus was saying about in me shall have peace is really a heart issue. When we're facing a crisis, can we be at peace? It's not that there's not a storm around us, because there's going to be storms. There's going to be storms. But as this great artist did, he wanted to show the contrast with a storm with peace. Instead of painting, you know, a tranquil river, he painted a storm, but with this little bird in the middle at peace. And that is really what it comes down to. You're going to have trouble out there, Sister Deb. You're going to have trouble out there, but you can still be at peace within yourself if you have Jesus. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm just reading a whole chapter in the book of Psalms. It's 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed. Just kind of picture this in your head. And though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, these are your problems. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, and though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, there is a river that the flows. Streams whereof make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. All right, so just keep picturing what this is saying. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, and the kingdoms were moved. He uttered the voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he has made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder, and he burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge.
Amen. That's a very beautiful, beautiful psalm. That's a great thing to do when you're going through tribulation, is find a psalm like that. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my... You know, find a word that is going to get into your soul that will help bring some peace, because it's the words that God spoke that really can be effective to feed your soul in such a time. I've always said, find a scripture when you're in trouble, right? Find a scripture when you're in trouble. Like if it's finances, you know, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out the mouth of God. Whatever you're dealing with, you know, if it's a jerk at work, find a scripture for that. There's promises for that, right? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You don't have to fight certain people. Just let God deal with it, right? So in me, you can have peace. In me, you can have comfort. As I said, the Christian should be the world's greatest optimist. It's not that we don't have things to face. You know, sometimes people look at me and think, well, got it made. I don't have it made. I have issues. It's just I can't tell you every one of them, right? I'm not going to tell you all my issues. I give it to the one who can deal with it, because most of the time you can't help me, right? There's only one person who can truly help me, and that's who I take it to. That's who I take it to. My parents tell me that when I was being born, there was a song being played on the radio, and it really should be my song. When I was being born, it was coming across the radio. I was born at home, and it was, "What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry. What everything to him in prayer." You know, oh, what griefs we often suffer. Oh, what, I can't remember all of the words, but we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. He is the one, he says, in me is peace. If you keep meditating on the issue and the problem, you know what you're doing? You're magnifying the problem. I was talking with a couple this week, and we were talking about the difference between men and women, you know, and men, when they have a problem or an issue, they don't want to talk about it. Because unless you have a solution, we go into our empty box. Leave me alone. I don't want to discuss this. Women want to talk about it. Right? And men don't want to talk about it, because unless there's a solution, why keep meditating on the issue? But we can go more than just into our empty box if Jesus is in there. Take it to Jesus, because in me is peace. Let not your heart be troubled. How do we overcome fear? Like you're facing some big issue. How practically can we overcome that? Prayer. Watch this, Deb. Read a scripture. Read a promise. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Okay? Read a scripture. That's two ways. Prayer, read a scripture. Any other ways when we're facing a crisis to deal with it? Meditate on God, okay? Amen. Amen. Lean not to your own understanding. Isn't that what the scripture says? Lean not, because we will try and work it out. Especially men. We'll try and work it out. But sometimes there is no working it out. The only one who can actually solve the situation is God. Amen. We're talking about overcoming. Here's another way. When you got to the end and there is no solution, then you submit it to God. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Then you are able to resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So if we have an issue and we want God to help, there is a procedure. There is a methodology to do it. We have to draw near to God. How do we draw near to God? Prayer. It means if you draw near to God, you're moving away from something else. I mean, it's so easy to just fill your day with stuff. Just, I'm not saying bad stuff, just the daily. We need to have a time set aside that's just for God. It's like if you're in love with someone and you never talk with them, right? You never call them, you never. I'm telling you, when people are in love or, you know, they're always on the phone. I know two people. They're not in here right now, but I mean, what are you talking about? It's like they're glued at the ears with their phones, right? A few people know what I'm talking about. What are you talking about? Now, I can say that now, but I remember 40 years ago, I was the same way. I mean, I remember having a bill 40 years ago that was like $300 and something in a phone bill 40 years ago, and that would be like, $900 today. What was I talking about? You know what? I was in love, to quote Sister Audrey. How many of us are in love with God? Do we go a whole week from Sunday to Sunday before we open a Bible or even really have a discussion with God? That's, it speaks about submitting. You see, we want all these things, but yet we won't be obedient. I've had some revelation lately. I've got a message today. I'll try not to preach that either. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands. Sometimes we're in too much stuff. You know, we're into too much stuff. You ever just felt yicky just because you've been around some people? You know, you weren't doing anything, but they were just into all kinds of things. When you left them, you just felt like, ooh, I need a shower. Because of the filth and foul, as Bill Cosby used to say, that was coming out of their mouth and the things they were doing, you just want to get away. You got to resist, but through submission. Luke 4:6. Many years ago, I used to do martial arts. I used to do judo, was my favorite martial art. And the thing that got me about doing judo when I was still in high school, I was 13 when I started, I saw this little guy who was a black belt and at my school, and he was the teacher. And he couldn't have been any bigger than me, and he was just throwing all these huge 6-foot, 250-pound people. They couldn't stay on their feet. As soon as they came near him, he did a few things, and they were on their back. And I was so impressed with that. I said, I got to learn that stuff. And what impressed me wasn't that he was so big or strong, but he knew how to use other people's strength. And what I learned about Judah, as I said before, it's all about submitting. Someone push you, you don't push back. You pull them. So now they're pushing and you're pulling, so they're going to go. See, that's what I learned about Judah is, so most of the time when people were to fight me, who didn't really understand really the technique, they would be all stiff-armed and trying to push you. And when they pushed me, I was like light. They had no resistance. They could pull me and they wouldn't feel anything. Because that's the key to Judo. It's using the other person's force against them. And we can do that with Satan, you know. Because we can submit to God and we can resist the devil. And the devil said, let's look at this example with Jesus. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee. He'll always come with some sweet story. Some get out of jail card. All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. Now, you can, if you're ready to be immoral and do whatever it takes, you can get ahead in life. If you're going to just, you know, scratch my back and I'll rip yours apart philosophy, you can achieve some things, but at what cost? If you will worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered him, said, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So if we submit to God, when we come in here and when we pray and when we seek God, we are going to receive strength. We are going to get power to be able to deal with the tribulations and the things that we are facing. We will become overcomers. Now, the other point about submitting is through the anointing. When we come in here on a Sunday and we worship and we get happy and we start praising God and lifting up his name and the anointing falls on us, that's another way of overcoming, because praise and worship gives you power. There is a power in just worship. As we explored about the walls of Jericho, they didn't really fight. They didn't take a sword. All they did was march around and shout. And what happened? The walls fell down. Sometimes there's a way of overcoming just by in worship. I used to do that as a teenager. When I had a really bad day, I would come home and I'd be miserable and depressed, and I would sit down at the piano and I'd start to play, and it'd be all like funeral music, you know. But very slowly, I'd start to get my praise on, and by the time of half an hour, I was the joy of the Lord. And I'd get up and I'd close the piano and I'd go, that was much better. This church is a refueling station. You may come in here and you maybe just had a very bad week. But I tell you what, if you will open your heart to praise and to sing and start to thank God, even when you don't feel like it, even when you don't feel like it, you know, there's just some laws, spiritual laws that God has set up. And when you start to worship and praise, he said, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. You leave this place today different than when you came in. You leave this place, you know, I can make it. I can get through another week. I can overcome. See, there's overcoming through the anointing. We know the story of David, who was a shepherd boy. And Samuel had been called to go and anoint the new king. And he went to the house of Jesse and called of all of his 6'6" sons. And no, it wasn't them. It wasn't. See, it wasn't in the size. It's not how big and bad we can be, because we can't be big and bad enough to defeat Satan. But finally, after all of the sons that were in the house had passed, Samuel said to Jesse, don't you have one more? He says, well, yeah, but he's just a youth. He's out looking after the sheep. Samuel said, call him. Then Samuel took, I want to show you something about how you can overcome through the anointing. Then took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And what does the scripture say? And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. Now when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, you're going to succeed. From that point on, David was an overcomer. Whenever he stayed close to God, there was no stopping him. He never had a battle that he lost. Once he stayed close to God, you see, the anointing also can be something that helps you overcome. When you get in here and you get anointed and the praise and worship gets into your soul, amen, it can't help but bring a smile to your face. You can look at the same problems with a different set of eyes. A different set of eyes. You know, and I know we use this example a lot, but Jesus in the boat that he was sleeping. The disciples were looking at the storm as, this is terrible. In fact, the Bible says water was coming in the boat. It was a genuine storm. But the point was, who was in the boat with them? If Jesus is in your boat, are you ever going to sink? It's not possible. All they had to do was look at who was in their boat. Now, the question is he in your boat? But if he is in your boat, it doesn't matter if there's water coming in. It doesn't matter if they say we're going to foreclose in 30 days. It doesn't matter if the state says you owe $12,000. It doesn't matter if the city is fining you. You know, they fined this church $350 a month for 2 years. We're still here. We don't owe them anymore. Amen. It doesn't matter. If God is in your boat, it does not matter. The anointing will make you an overcomer. Luke 4:18-19 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now, just after he was tempted by Satan, Jesus went back home to Capernaum, and he went into the synagogue, and they handed him the scroll of the book of Isaiah, and he opened it at chapter 61, which is what's being quoted from here. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. If you get an anointing, there is no devil, no demon, no spirit, no situation, no tribulation that's going to be able to overcome you. Because the Bible says the anointing breaks. The anointing breaks the yoke. Whatever yoke Satan has put on your back, whatever weight he has pushed you down, the Bible says the anointing breaks the yoke. You need to tell yourself that tomorrow morning. You're facing some hard hardships this week. Just say it out into the ear. The anointing breaks the yoke. You know what that means? Oh, you can't get up then. Go ahead. Since you have the baby.
As usual. Yeah, I know I've read also the word actually says the anointing destroys the yoke. There's a difference between it just breaking it, because if it's broken, it can still maybe reform, but the anointing destroys the yoke.
Amen. So, to be an overcomer, here is another thing you can use in your weaponry, is get an anointing. Get an anointing. Get some joy. I tell you, and I've tried this with you guys before, close your eyes. Close your eyes. Everybody close their eyes. Okay. Now, think about the problem that is biggest in your life right now. Think about the problem that's big. Now, visualize that problem going away. What would that look like if that problem was solved? If that problem that you had, just visualize it. See it being answered. See it being taken away. See, I'm telling you, that would give you a joy. Whatever it is right now that you're facing, see it being taken out the way. See it being solved. See it being cleared. See it being gotten out of the way. Seeing yourself being delivered. Seeing the storm being stopped. Amen? Now open your eyes. See, that's what I'm talking about. If you start to get an anointing and start to believe that, imagine if we actually believed that and saw it to the point where we believe it to be real. As I've said, science has come to the conclusion that the observer affects the outcome, that your conscious thoughts affects what's going to actually happen. You know what they've stumbled on? They've stumbled on the law of faith. That's spoken of in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Paul says that there is a law of faith. That means what you believe can come to pass. Science has come to the conclusion that it is possible for all the mountain to go into the sea. Now, it's highly unlikely, according to their statistics, with men, but with God, even the thing that has such a small possibility is possible. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. When we get the anointing, we will be overcomers. In fact, that will be like spraying off to the devil. You know, he's a mosquito. He'll stay away from you. I won't mess with that one because they're just too full of the Holy Spirit right now. I have to wait till it wears off. Amen. He said, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Isaiah, here's the scripture, Sister Brownie, that you were talking about. This is the word of God. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck. And the yoke shall be, what does it say? Destroyed. How? Because of the anointing. Amen. You got some yokes on you? Come second service, let's worship. Let's open up, let's clap, let's dance. Let's lift up the name. Because you see what the scripture says? Because of the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. When we get the anointing in a full measure, there is no, as I said, demon, no situation that God will not move out the way. Amen. Now, there is another way that we can become overcomers. Maybe we're just not strong enough to get the anointing. Maybe we just are so depressed that we're in a dark place. But you know, there's always God's grace. 2 Corinthians 12:7. This is Paul. He said, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh." Who has a thorn in the flesh? Something that you've just had for years that's just annoying you, that just drags you down, that just depresses you, and it just won't go away. It's just there. And no matter what you seem to pray, it's still there. And in Paul's case, he said it was really an injection, because that's what a thorn in the flesh is. And I remember preaching one time about how God, there's a virus called pride, and a thorn in the flesh is the injection. It's the anti-pride thing to keep us in check. Paul said, because of the abundance of revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord 3 times. Lord, please deliver me of this, that it might depart from me. Here's how you can overcome, even when the situation still stays the same. Maybe God is saying, listen, my grace is sufficient for you. This thing is going to be there a while, but I'm going to still be able to deliver you. You're going to still go through this with my grace. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, that is so profound and so deep. What God is saying, listen, if you had no problems, no issues, no needs, you wouldn't need me. Not that God sets up these circumstances, but sometimes he allows them so that we even pray, so that we even need him. You know, there's nothing more comforting to a mother than when the child wants her. You feel like a mother when your child runs to you. You know, you've been away, and as you come, I remember when I was like 2 or 3 and my mother used to work away from home, I used to remember when the lady was looking, your mom is coming, and I would be all excited. I'd be looking for her everywhere to see where, and as soon as I saw her way away, I would be running to go, and that made her so overjoyed. That's what God wants us to do, to just run to him. He is there waiting. The Bible says in the case of the prodigal son that the father saw him what? Afar off. The father was there every day looking. Where is my son? When will he wake up? When will he do the right thing? When will he understand that this is the place where he can find sustenance? This is the place where there is love. He was there every day. The father saw him afar off. The moment we will come to God in our weakness, he will see us afar off. He is ready, able and willing to call for the robe, to put the ring on your finger, and have a party. Amen? Paul got it. He said, therefore, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities. What he was saying is not that he wants trouble, but he's going to rest in the fact that God is going to deal with it. Every time you have a problem, it's a opportunity for God to reveal his glory. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, I got a $12,000 bill. God revealed his glory. It was an opportunity for me to say, God, I can't handle this. This is too big for me. It was a test that God gave me so I could come here today and give you a testimony. and declare that God is able to keep me from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory. Amen. I'm going to hurry. Ephesians 2:8 says this. In the final analysis, it says, "For by grace are we saved." It's not our strength. It's not our goodness. It's not our intelligence. It's not degrees. It's not anything but by his unmerited favor. Through grace are we saved, through faith. That means grace is extended. You have to believe it. And not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. If you want to be blessed, keep humble. How do you keep humble? How do you counter pride? What's a way of countering pride? That's it. Serving someone else. Serving someone else is the antidote to pride. Find someone who needs something, serve them. Right? That's how you deal with pride. Because our flesh wants to be served. We want to be in the high spot. Bring me the food. Right? If you want to cure pride, go find someone and fulfill a need in their life. And God will be looking and say, that's my servant. That's my servant. You see, you will be storing up so much blessing for yourself. The Bible says it's better to do what? To give than receive. Okay, we're almost out of time. Here's another thing on overcoming. Overcoming by listening. Now that doesn't make sense. Isaiah 30:21. When we got to deal with a problem, and this is me, I'm very impulsive. This is really from me. I tend to just, let's do it, and I don't even think. I just go by instinct and ready to go take care of it. But the Bible says that we should kind of take a breath and listen for God's direction. The first thing that comes to our brain may not be the solution. Isaiah 30:21 says this, "And thine ear shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way." Many times we come to a crossroad in life, and we're already got the decision. We've already chosen which way we want God to say yes to. Right? "Lord, choose this for me." Instead of asking him, "What is your will, Lord?" We're telling him, "Please approve this direct. This is the way I want to go, so you just bless it." Well, that's not how it works, right? The prodigal son said, "Give me all my share. I want to go off and prove how smart I am without your help." And what did he do? He made a mess of it. But God is saying, if we will listen, when we come to a crisis and we don't know what to do, and we will listen and ask God, there will be a voice that he will give us. He has promised. "Thine ears shall hear a word behind thee. This is the way." I mean, I have made so many terrible life decisions by just not listening, you know. And even we had a little marriage thing yesterday. My wife is a really great counselor. But, you know, sometimes we think, okay, I'm going to make this looks good. Sometimes it's not always Eve that takes the apple to Adam. Sometimes it's Adam that takes the apple to Eve. Right? Okay, she's going to make one more comment.
We were talking about how can we remain humble by serving one another. I think what makes our marriage special and in a marriage is we've learned to serve one another. And that's what really strengthens a marriage. So if you wanted somewhere to begin right there with those closest to you.
Amen. Don't you know, some people think they got to go to Africa to be a missionary to fulfill God's will. Well, what about the city of Milwaukee? Serve who's right next to you, right? If God is not going to always call us to go to Kenya or to South America, what about the 1.5 million people that are here who are dying without hope, that don't believe, don't know that there is a God that can actually hear, that can relate? Revelation 2:7 says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Him that overcometh," that's what we've been talking about, "will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Sometimes what God wants us to do is nothing. Just stand still. That's what he told Hezekiah. "Stand still, let me deal with this." Stand still and see the salvation. Sometimes we want to do something. We want to fix it. Sometimes it's just stand still, let God handle this. Don't say a word. Whatever we say will be used in evidence against us, right? Sometimes we just have to shut up and let God deal with the situation. This is the way, walk you in it. Sometimes when we try and work it out, it becomes corrupted. It becomes all about us. It becomes the wrong decision. It becomes just what we really wanted to do that we told God, you approve it. You know, and it's really our choice. Jesus said this about Satan. Behold, the prince of this world cometh, but he hath what? Nothing in me. There wasn't anything that Satan could really grab onto Jesus. He didn't care about wealth. He didn't care about this or that. There was nothing. It's when we have stuff that we're holding on to, whether it's relationships, people, money, job, children, that's when Satan can find a way to attack us. But if we put God first and we'll listen to that voice, amen. Now, I'm going to wrap this up because we've had 4 weeks of about overcoming, and I hope if you haven't heard all of them, they're on the website. You can go back and listen to it. And this was the one that I feel that ties it all together, and that is faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek him. And what I found is that when we pray, or at least I've learned now to keep on praying. Keep on praying. You don't get what you're looking for right now. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. Diligently. Remember, I taught about how the wise men sought the baby Jesus for could be up to 2 years. Keep on seeking him. You have an issue that hasn't gone, you don't give up. You keep on praying. Keep on praying. Be diligent. I started to see some things happen at my workplace that to me are miraculous because and I don't want to get into detail because God is in the situation. But you know, I noticed why. It's because every morning I keep on praying, Lord, you need to fix this for me. And I've been doing it now for months. And he's fixing it. He is fixing it. See, when we are diligent and stand upon God's promises, we will become overcomers. We will become overcomers. I'm going to hurry on. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. I've said so many times, we look at ourselves, we're going to fail. But when we trust God and look unto Jesus and say, Lord, you're going to have to come into this situation. You're going to have to deliver me because it's impossible. This is a chance for God's glory to be revealed. It was impossible for Lazarus to come out of the grave. He'd been in there 3 days. That was totally a done deal. Nothing now that any human could do could make that happen. As I've said so many times, it's the dead situations that God wants to get glory in. He could have come earlier when he was alive, and we would have never heard the story. We'd never know of Lazarus because they said, well, he just healed him of pneumonia. But Jesus stayed even longer. Sometimes God is wanting to get glory in your situation. And so you don't get the answer right away because you're going to get a bigger miracle. And I don't want to tell for the 100th time how God gave me a bigger miracle with my house. Amen. But he wants to give you a bigger miracle. That's all. So whatever you're facing, if you haven't gotten the answer this week, you don't get the answer next week, all it's going to be now a bigger miracle. It's gotten more desperate. It's got more end of the line. It's going to be a huge miracle. With men, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Last slide I'm going to say, and then we're going to stand. I said that key to being an overcomer is looking at Jesus. And the last time I talked about this, which was week 2, I mentioned about Job, who was going through, talk about tribulation. He is the book on tribulation, right? All his children killed, his financial situation devastated, and then to top it all, now he's gotten sick, painful sicknesses and boils, and then his wife, his relationship. So everything you want to check, money, family, health, relationship, all down the tubes. Talk about tribulation. But to prove to you how he was an overcomer, somehow he caught a vision of the risen Christ. This is Job. All his friends are saying, you messed up. You're no good. This is Job. Now, this is pure faith. This is Job saying, for I know. You got to believe this thing till you know it. I know. He didn't say, I think, maybe, could be. He says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. If you could stand with me. And that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. This is a prophecy. Thousands of years before Jesus came. Here is Job, who can check every box for tribulation. And he's saying this. He's making a declaration. And I challenge all of us today to make this same declaration. Because he's saying, listen, I'm in trouble. I need redemption. But I know that my Redeemer, he had no evidence. God looked like a million miles from him and his situation. But this is Job. This is why he triumphed at the end. Listen to his words. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms, he's saying, even if I die, even if the sickness takes me, even if my wife leaves me, even if my finances are gone, even if my children are dead, yet in my flesh, this is what I was telling you, I shall see God. You know what he was saying? I'm going to be resurrected. He says, in my flesh, I shall. He was believing that one day he's going to be resurrected. He's going to come back better than he was. He was going to come back renewed, reborn. He said, even in my flesh, I shall see God. Remember what I said? Looking unto who? Jesus, who is the author and the finisher. You let him, he will write your story. And it will be a good story. It will have a blessed ending. It will have deliverance. It will have blessing. There's nobody I think can outdo Job for suffering. He checks all the boxes. But this was his key. For I know. Talk about faith. My Redeemer liveth. And that he shall stand on the ladder. He believed in the resurrection. And though after my skin worms destroy this body. He says, I'm coming back. Even though I'm dead. Isn't that what Jesus said when he came to raise Lazarus? Martha said, if you had only been here and here, he wouldn't have died. But I know that even now, Jesus said, listen, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, though your situation is desperate, though it looks hopeless, though you've been praying for 20 years, just like Job, yet shall he live. Yet in my flesh I shall see God. He goes on in verse 27, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another. Though my reins be consumed within me, though he says, even though I'm sick now, even though I might die, I have so much faith that God is going to bring me back from the grave. And one day, I'm going to stand and see my Redeemer. That's an overcomer. No wonder the Bible ends up with says that God changed Job's situation. And I've said this before. Last thing I'm going to say, it did not change even after he prayed and talked with God. Think about that. All through the book of Job, he's asking God, if I can speak to you in person, we can have this out, mano a mano, right? I could ask you why all these bad things are happening to me, and you would have to say, well, you know, Job, you're a good guy. I'm going to fix it right away. But even after talking with God, none of that happened. Job was still sick. His children hadn't come back. It was only after Job prayed for his friends, the same ones who had been bad-mouthing him. Talk about faith. Talk about God's grace. Talk about love. The Bible says that it's only after he had prayed for his friends, not prayed with God, not had a conversation, prayed for his friends, that God turned the captivity of Job. I'm looking for God to turn your captivity. If you can say like Job in faith, I know that my Redeemer liveth, And that one day, even if I die now, even if the sickness takes me, even if I don't ever get rich or a decent place, I know my Redeemer liveth. One day I shall see him for myself. Amen. If you could bow your heads with me, Father, we just thank you for this word this morning. We ask you to let it find good soil. Let it build faith in our hearts, in our souls. Oh God, that we will not give up, that we will become overcomers. Lord, that you will let all of these words find a harvest in our hearts, Lord God, that when we go through the storms this week, when we face tribulation, we will remember your